TR. It's 0TRK and 4CHY. You finished it yet, Tom?
KM4CHY, W4DJW, is that you, Keith?
Sir Dave, how are you doing today?
Well, the storm blew over, and the sun is shining again, so life rolls on. How about you?
Same. It cleared out of here. Like you said, the sun's back out, but there won't be no grass cutting today, over.
I'm sure my neighbors loved it. I started my grass cutting at 8 o'clock this morning. If they weren't awake, I woke them up. It was with an electric lawnmower, so hopefully it wasn't too bad for them. Got the whole yard cut by about 10, I think it was, with a push mower, with about a 20-inch wide electric push mower. So that was my exercise for the day.
Very nice. Yeah, I usually tend to do mine in the evening. I tell you, this whole work thing is really inconvenient for stuff like that.
Yeah, retirement is good if you can get used to it. I'm still having a hard time getting used to being able to command my own time and do whatever I want to with it. Yeah, you'd think that would be a really easy transition, but for me it's kind of hard to continue to realize it, even though it's been since September already.
I can imagine it being an adjustment to make. Probably 5 or 6 more years before I start making the adjustment, so we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I was wanting to ask Tom about, you mentioned, like, spider line, I believe it was. They were talking antenna launchers a while ago, and couldn't get back in there and ask him what spider line was, over.
Spider line, L-I-N-E, or like, there's like an antenna that's got spider in its name. It's not an antenna, is it?
Negative. They were referring to antenna launchers and said that he took the spider line off and went with monofilament. And I was wondering, I took monofilament off of mine and went with a braided line, and I was wondering if that's what he was referring to.
Now, I see there's a manufacturer who manufactures a fishing line called Spider. And they got several different kinds. Spider super braid super line and braided stealth braid fishing line and ultra cast ultimate mono fishing line. Sounds like a manufacturer for the fishing line, different types of fishing line.
I got you. And that's what I was wanting to clarify, is if it was a line, because braided lines tend to be a lot stronger test than, you know, equivalent size monofilament. But if they have problems breaking them, I might need to change my Zepco out on the oil launcher and put monofilament back on it.
What kind of launcher? Is it a pneumatic, or is it like rubber bands, or what kind of launcher? What's the propellant?
It's the P-Pneumatic. It's the one I sent you the video of the launch the other day.
Oh, yeah, that one that has that big PVC with a big nose on the front, big metal nose on the front. Okay, I remember that now.
I need to put those up on YouTube. I've got another video. It was actually my first launch video and from behind me. And, you couldn't get a sense of the distance, but you could hear the little Zepco just paying out line. I need to put both of those on YouTube so people can see them. That's why I asked you if you had an iPhone, because it don't cost anything to receive it from me over iMessage. But I'd hate to send somebody that in a text over.
You mean there's still people that have to pay to receive data through, like that? I didn't know that anybody. I send videos and stuff like that to people all the time. I hope I'm not killing their economical telephone.
I know of at least one, and that would be me, and kind of got screwed over. One of the youngins was on our plan for a while, and she texts a lot. know, like a lot of youngins do. And so we had a plan before that was like 200 texts a month or something like that. That's basically unlimited for us. So when she got on the plan, we went with an unlimited plan to cover her habits. And when we no longer needed that, they wouldn't let us go back to our original plan. So we have no texting, so it's a per message charge now for text.
Oh, that would hurt. I know. We got a rude awakening when we were going down to Florida, not this past time, but time before last, I think it was. And Amy was watching a football game and the race at the same time on two different devices. And I got a text message saying, we're going to charge you $15 for another gigabyte when she already used 5 or 6 gigabytes by that time. And I said, whoa, put the brakes on this. I didn't realize she was burning that through that kind of data.
Roger that. Yeah, and that's part of why they wouldn't let us go back, because we still got the old unlimited data plan. And I think they purposely didn't give us the text back to try to get us off of it. And it really irks me, because the fella in the store, the local place here, said, oh yeah, no problem, you can go right back to it when you get done. And, you know, because we told him it'd be a temporary thing. And then when it come down to it, no, we couldn't.
So. 24VEW, what carrier is that?
AT&T.
That's who I have, too. And they're constantly making new plans and stuff like that. And it starts off with something really enticing, and then it morphs into, over time, something that gets expensive. You got to keep an eye on AT&T.
Roger that. We're hopefully going to be able to shed the AT&T internet here pretty quick. They're in the midst of running fiber down the road here, so we hope to switch over to that here before long.
Well, I had two of them at home when I was working. I still have two. I have Charter, who turned into Spectrum, and I have AT&T, and both of them have internet. So that I can go out on one and come back in on another when I need to test something. If you try to hit something that you're hosting yourself, you find out real quick that doesn't work unless you like directly address it on your local area and network instead of coming in from the outside. And that doesn't work if you want to test it. It'll give you a false positive that it works when it doesn't work. So I kept it, but it's expensive to keep two service providers like that. So I got to figure out a better way. Now that when I was working, I called it double redundancy, right? So I never would have to not show up at work until my internet service provider went out. I just switch over to the other one, W4DJW.
I'm on Spectrum, and I haven't had too much trouble with it since they switched over. But if I have to work, you know, when I'm working from home, if I have to get on the internet or something, I have to drive down to the public library.
Or CHY, yeah. The AT&T internet here has been just dead solid. We've had it, you know, ever since we bought the house over here, and have had very little problems with it. Here in the last few months, we had a modem die on us and had to get it replaced, and that took about 4 days over a weekend, you know. And then, here about a couple of weeks ago, it was on Friday about 11 o'clock, I was working away, and all of a sudden I've got a tablet that is basically a e-ink tablet that I use for notes and stuff, and I was waiting for it to sync, and it stopped syncing, and I was like, well, that's weird, I've never done that before, and I looked up, and my internet connection had dropped on the computer also. And come to find out, service guy got here the next day, and they had installed another pair in the box down the road. And when he installed that second pair, whoever installed it stripped the wires too long, and when he screwed it down, one of the new wires shorted out on my circuit.
Well, before DJW. I had something like that happen before. My neighbor was having some work done, and my internet went out. So I had to switch over to my backup. And I just watched him, right? And he started picking up his cones like he was getting ready to leave. And I went out there and said, no. Everything was fine before you showed up, and now all of a sudden you got him working and I'm not working. So you stay here till you get me working again. And he said, no, we never touch one customer's when we're working on another customer's. And I said, well, you touched something this time. And in the end, he apologized for it, but he had crossed the wires out there and didn't realize he did. So you got to watch him. W4DJW.
The technician come out here, that was on Friday. He came out Saturday morning. And he said, yeah, whoever put that other pair in down there shorted it out. And he says they redid both pairs and said that I could tell because yours were stripped back the same way that his the other pair was. And he had really long tails on it. He says yours didn't interfere with anybody, but when he tightened the other one down up above mine, that's what made it short out. He says, so if this happens again, run up the road here and see if there's anybody in that box. And if there is, tell them you just took me down. Get them to fix it before they leave. It's a couple of blocks down, so I'll just have to run out the door and see if there's anybody down there when it goes out next time.
That's the best bet. Well, you came up quite a bit since the storm passed over. Did the repeater come up on you? You were kind of low and far away when you were seeing if the repeater was scratchy on other people. But now you're back to normal again. I think a temperature inversion went over there or somewhere, something like that. How's the repeater sound to you now?
Still a little snowy, but it's much better than it was. When I believe you were in here, too. Talking to somebody, and y'all were both dropping out on me. And that's after y'all broke, and then Chad came in. That's when I jumped in there, seeing if they were hearing the same thing. It was really bad there for a while.
Well, I did a vector from you to the repeater, and you're about twice as far as everybody else is from the repeater. So you're going to notice changes before other people do. You'll be the first to notice a change, whether it's better or whether it's worse.
That makes sense. I know you mentioned that when it gets windy, that with the coax up there, I might have been hearing some of that too, because I know it, you know, it blew through here first, the wind it picked up, and even Chad had said something about it. It's really windy over there right before it started.
Yeah, I think they've already got the Killam strips to tighten that coax up so it doesn't move around, and they've already purchased the other coax, so they're going to phase it. They're going to put, we've got 4-bay folded dipole at 450-foot mark. We're going to put another one at the 350-foot mark, and then we're going to run that, the coax that is already there, that's the LMR 600, up to the halfway point, that 400-foot mark, and turn around and come back down to the one at the 350-foot mark, and then run the other one all the way up to the 450-foot mark. And then they'll be in phase, and we'll have twice as many bays, 8 bays instead of 4 bays, at 2 different locations, and tighten up. I think they've already purchased all the Killam strips, so tighten up on the LMR 600 so it's not moving around any at all. They built more brackets and bought more strips to hold it tighter so it doesn't move. It's very windy up there all the time. Just about all the time you go up there, it's windy. W4DJW.
A little break in case another station will still be in again. I can imagine it is windy up there all the time. Now, is this stuff that the club has to do, or do the tower owners or whatever pitch in on that too? Or I would assume it's up to the club to get it done.
Yeah, it's completely up to the club to do that. The tower owner is WYFF, TV Channel 4. They own the tower. They're not going to work on our equipment for us, but they do let us have. They have given us like 4 different positions on the tower. Well, it's a 900-foot tower, and we our highest position is at 450 foot up. And then we have one at 350, and I think there's one at 2 and one at 100, something like that, for like digital communications, for the lower ones, control frequency, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's 100% up to the Breyer's Repeater Committee to get that work done.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was the case. So now you say the lowest one is for control, but all four locations are for this one repeater?
Yeah, we could put, eventually it's going to be the control frequency is going to have its own antenna up there. And it's also going to have the ability to mix in the 8.2 repeater on the control radio. So there's the prototype repeater has three transmitters and three receivers. And the pair, the first two are receive on one and transmit on the other. And if either one loses its ability, then you switch over to, you swap the pair. And you use the transmit on the, you know, you switch the receive and transmit. So you've got like fourth quadruple redundancy right there with those two. And then the control radio also has the ability to be used as a link to the 8.2 radio. So yeah, it's, and its antenna will be probably at the 100 foot mark. They haven't decided completely, but I'm thinking that's probably where they're headed.
Gotcha. That's pretty cool. So this prototype repeater, is this something that you put together, or is it like a factory bought repeater?
So we went round and round and round on ideas like that. The new repeaters nowadays that do DMR and that kind of stuff are around $7,000-$8,000. You can get some for like $3,000 to $4,000, but they don't do as much as the repeaters that we have right now, the analog repeaters. So you pay a whole lot more and you get a whole lot less for new repeaters. So we decided to, like a lot of people are doing, a lot of clubs are doing, to go with get a whole lot more money, whole lot more value for your dollar. And that is use those Kenwood's, TMV71As, use the three of those. And then hook them all together, you know, programmatically. And that's what the prototype is. It's three TMV71As, and they are hooked together with a Raspberry Pi. And it's got a control interface, and so each one of the repeater committee members can pull that up on their – you don't even have to go in the fence. You can pull up next to it. It hosts its own Wi-Fi. So you go up there, you log into its Wi-Fi, you bring up its display panel, and you can do whatever you want to with it. Now, we're working on – we've also got a pair of stacked Jaggies that we can use for – with a Verizon account so that we can do that from down here, not even have to drive up next to the gate. But if that doesn't work, you know, you can just drive up next to the gate, open your laptop, log into the repeater, do whatever you want, and drive off without ever even having to unlock the gate.
That's very cool. And is this a pre-built package for the Pi, or is this something that you put together, or how does the software side of it work?
So the reason we went with TM71A is because they've got the Kenwood protocol built into them, the communication protocol for configuration, not just for controlling the radio, but for configuring the radio. I don't know. Kenwoods are really, really good about that. I don't think anybody else is even close to Kenwood in that area. Well, maybe Flex Radio, but they don't have a UHF, VHF anymore. They used to have it, but they don't. So Kenwood's way out in the lead, head and shoulders beyond anybody else with that capability, being able to interface it with it with a computer and do whatever you want to do. Like you can change the squelch, you can change the volume level, you can change how long the tail drops, that kind of stuff. So we started out with looking at what's out there, like the Raspberry Pi repeater is a hat that sits on top of the Raspberry Pi. And that worked, but it was really new, and they had some issues with the audio, and they worked on a new version, and we worked with them for a little while and decided, nah, we're not. That's just not dependable enough. So went back to just a plain old audio card that's sitting on top of the Raspberry Pi. Well, actually, Wyatt, the guy I was talking to earlier, he found this setup that you can put a Raspberry Pi on. It's got its own power supply built into it. So you supply it the voltage that's at the shack, and it does the configuration for the Pi for voltage supply so that you don't get any voltage drops outs or anything like that. And it's got room to stack other cards. So we've got some other cards. One's a cooling card because it's going to get hot up there in the summer, so it's got a cooling card on it. That's BitScope. I couldn't remember the name of it, BitScope. And it hosts like 6 cards. And the Pi is one of them. A cooling card is one of them. An audio card is one of them. A couple of interface cards to the radios themselves that have RS-232 to do the controlling. And then some routing for level shifters because the Pi speaks at 3.3 volts and the radios speak at 5 volts. So you can't just hook them together. You got to go through level shifters. So this got like 6 cards on a card, and we built that out ourselves instead of just buying it. And it worked really good. We've had it up there at the site one day, left it for a month a couple of years ago, left it set up. You could link it to the A2 or you could unlink it from the A2. But we didn't have anywhere to get into it directly, and Landon had to keep going up there to the site to make minor adjustments, so we took it down and decided we'd go up there once we had an interface that we could control from down here, which we have now, but we just haven't had the time to install it. W4DJW.
That's really cool. I'll have to dig into some of that. I don't have any interest in putting one up, but I like looking at the technology behind this stuff. I need to get on back in there and get back to work for a little while and talking to you. Catch you a little later, probably after about the 5 o'clock mark. W4DJW,
All right, Keith. Well, enjoy the rest of your work day, and hope you have a good work day, what's left of it. K4CHY, W4DJW, clear.
4DJW, you talk too much. WX4MWA.
Well, thank you. I've been told the opposite, so that means I'm making progress.
The only person I know who can take five-minute subject turn into a 15-minute conversation.
WX4 what, did you say?
Look it up on the computer to see who I am.
It's not Matt, is it?
No, it is. How you been?
Where have you been, Matt, and what is your new call sign?
Trey Ford, Mike Whiskey Alpha.
You sound different. What kind of radio are you on? Because you don't sound like you used to sound. What's different? What, did you change out radios or something?
I'm still on my 700.
Well, you're talking faster than you used to talk. You used to talk really slow, and you're talking like normal speed now. What's up? What happened there?
Got me before I take my meds.
Okay, I just thought somebody lit a fire underneath of you or something. Because it didn't sound like you. It still doesn't sound like you. You're talking a whole lot faster than you used to talk. What's that on your, what's that card on there? What's that mountain? What's that lava mountain in that grid that we're looking at on your QRZ page?
That could be Kilauea.
Is that a volcano exploding?
Yeah, if it's a volcano, it's probably Kilauea from, when I took the wife to Hawaii about, six years ago?
That's probably what it is. That's what it looks kind of like, that, like a lava flow or something. I don't know. It's got two grids, though, like a X, Y, Z, like a three-dimensional grid. Anyway, what's new with you? What you been up to?
Just living the life. Taking care of the yard, what I can do anyway, and keeping the grandkids happy.
Weren't you riding a bike, too? You still got that bike?
Grey Goose, yeah. I got a 2012 1800 Goldwing, too.
Are you still riding?
Going to Maggie Valley this weekend.
Well, good for you. Mine's been sitting under moving blankets for about 2 years. I need to get it out this year and get that gasoline out of it and get some new gas in it and ride it around a little bit, exercise it.
Toddy or something like that, right?
Hayabusa.
I guess.
So what else has been going on? You still doing apers? I don't see your aper signal out there, do I? You used to run apers all the time. What happened with that?
I don't drive as much as I used to. If you look at it now, it should be up because I've been running my radio pretty much all day today because I've been out running around.
Let me go look at it. Give me a second.
Much anytime I'm out running around, I'll run it, especially if I'm chasing clouds. Show me over here at Walmart Central. Fixing to go in there and grab a couple of things that I forgot earlier before I head back to the house.
Well, I'm having to restart my Apers client because I rebooted my computer 2 days ago and I forgot to launch Apers. So it's been down for 2 days and I didn't even know it.
Talking about me. That old age is catching up to you too.
Well, it's running now. I usually don't boot the computer, you know, maybe two or three times a year, and I don't know why I booted it that time. I think whatever I booted it for, it worked, but I didn't bring Apers back up. But it's loading now. It's going to connect to the Apers network in a few minutes, and I have to disconnect it. But there I go getting chatty again.
Yeah, I had to give you a hard time. Ain't talked to you in a while. So what you been up to?
I've been trying to figure out how you do retirement. You know, cutting grass when you want to, take the dog for a walk when you want to, go over to somebody's house when you want to, like, look at an antenna or something like that, and you don't even have to worry about telling your boss or any of that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to figure out how retirement works. I still don't have it figured out.
Got a couple of things. Hook up to the camper and go to the mountains if you want to, or hook up to the boat and go to the lake when you want to.
Or ride, take a motorcycle ride through the mountains, you know, get the Apers beacon working on the motorcycle again like it used to, that kind of stuff. I don't know, there when it just connected. You're going to pop in there in a minute.
I take the camper out, the bike's normally in the back of it.
Well, that's good. Go on the inside, you don't have to bolt it to the back of the outside.
That's a firm. Yep. Got one of them toy haulers. I can load it in the back, strap it down. Keeps it out of the weather when I'm going down the highway.
Hey, you know who that is, Wyatt? Do you recognize that voice?
I was going to ask him what kind of toy hauler he has.
A Gulfwing Track and Trail. Had a blowout coming from Daytona Bike Week in March. It's down at the RV place right now waiting to get fixed.
I'm giving it back to Dave. How big is it?
This is a 30-foot. They make different sizes. I didn't want to go with a fifth wheel or a bigger. I could have got a bigger travel trailer, but I like it being kind of small, so I don't have to worry about maneuvering around in tight places.
Do that one more time, because that is actually what I have been looking for a long time. Something like that.
Gulfwing Track and Trail. Now, that's just one model of it. Then you've got Forest River's got a bunch of different manufacturers that they deal, you know, they different names. And then you got your Montana's, which is Keystone, and a bunch of others that Keystone owns. But there's all kinds of different manufacturers, but the pretty much all the parts come from the same companies.
And Jayco Superlight 26. But anyway, all right. Dave, you can pick it up. You can come and remind me who that voice belongs to. Get it for today.
W4 for DJW. Well, you're going to remember him as KF or NXS. Remember, and he used to say that very slowly, KF or NXF. But now, he's got this WX4 MWA stuff going on there, and it threw me for a loop. I didn't know who he was. That's Matt, KF4 NXS. Remember him, Wyatt?
Yeah, no, trust me, that is. Go ahead, Matt.
Around on this frequency much. Keeps me out of trouble that way.
Well, has the trouble subsided now that you can, now that it has it passed so you can come back again, or are you still dodging, you're still dodging it?
Pretty much over on Billy's repeater, K9OH. I do a lot of the GSP regional Skywarn stuff with him. Robert's there quite a bit too.
Well, that is where a lot of the sky, what are they called? Weather chaser, sky, what do they call you guys?
Of a cloud chaser, but the official term would be storm spotter, or you can call us storm chasers in my case. I like getting up front and close and personal with them.
That's what I was looking for. Anyway, the mail lady went, so the dog's over here whining, wanting to go outside. She knows when it's time to go to the mailbox, so I'm going to let you go. But good talking to you, Matt. You ought to pop in over here more often. And I want to say KF4NXS, but instead I'll say WX4MWA, W4DJW. Catch you later, and be careful out there, Wyatt.
Another 5 minutes, I'll be home. Catch you later, Tim.
Dave, WX4MWA, I gotta go inside, grab a couple of things, and then head to the house. I'm only 2 miles from it. One thing I like about where I live now, don't take a chore to go to this trip. Just right down the street. Wyatt, be safe, since you're almost home. Take care, y'all. We'll get back in here sometime soon. WX4MWA.
All right, Matt, you take care. KJ4, CTD Mobile.